The Guardians, Path of Ascension, by Bruce R.F. Chapter 3, Running Wild. With goodbyes out of the way, Selden takes to the road without a care or destination in sight. North is all he knows, and all he wants to know. He's letting himself be led by instinct. Although he is moving as quickly as he can, 22 miles per hour just doesn't get you very far very fast. Of course, running this marathon isn't without its own set of hardships and rewards, and he knew that going in. That's the point. The challenge. Without ether to fuel him, he can only run about 18 miles per hour, for a burst of about 5 minutes, but using his energy to propel himself forward gives him a pretty decent speed advantage and a lot more stamina. Be that as it may, after just over 24 hours of non-stop movement, his concentration is beginning to wane, and his mind is beginning to drift in and out of one daydream after another. He continues running for quite some time, avoiding the main highways. Instead, he travels through the wooded areas to keep himself off the public radar. Although the path he travels is rather unperilous, thanks to the modernized society he lives in, he keeps his mind occupied by envisioning himself embarking on many adventures and indulging in several fantasies on the way. Sometimes, he comes out the glorified hero after conquering a fearsome beast, or saving damsels in distress from evil warlords. But not all of his fantasies are so extravagant. He fancies the idea of being the modern-day hero who helps the police in high-speed car chases, puts out fires, or rescues pretty girls from tragic accidents in an attempt to win their hearts. Honestly, what boy hasn't at that age? He shakes his head, trying to clear his mind and regain focus, but the hours of constant effort have finally taken their toll on him, and his tank is just about empty. Steadily, he begins to feel his hunger and exhaustion creeping in. Resisting the urge to stop and rest, he attempts to push on a little longer. Maybe if I just keep my mind active, he thinks. And once again, he fades into imaginary delight. This time, he arrives not a moment too soon. The bank is under siege and locked down. Everyone inside is tied back to back, along the length of the teller window. Staged at the center of the entrance are two fairly large men dressed in black combat suits. They, along with the other four members of their team, are equipped with military-grade tactical assault weapons and body armor. Selden watches over the bank, observing from an almost omnipresent vantage, tracking the enemy's movements. They move swiftly and collectively, as if they know the layout well. Into the vault two of them go, with a medium-sized hand trolley and a set of duffel bags.
All right now, just stay calm,
a stern voice commands from a man marching up and down the centerline of the lobby floor. Selden doesn't recognize the voice, and he can't see the man's face through the generic ski mask. He could x-ray it, perhaps. After all, it is his imagination. But he doesn't really care. All he wants is to be sure of the ringleader, who easily gives himself away. With Golden Oldies playing over the bank's easy listening track, Selden finds himself calmly humming a sweet lullaby, getting into the beat. And as the vault door mysteriously slams shut, there is a click and a clack of the locking system engaging.
Force!
Shouts muffled voices that emanate softly through the airtight walls.
Force the door!
They continue to shout, fruitlessly. Hearing the slam of the door, the other four men quickly snap their gazes to the vault. The man, centered in the lobby, points toward the enormous steel door with the muzzle of his rifle.
I want it open now!
Suddenly, a blinding flash of intense white light illuminates the room.
Ah!
Exclaims two of the thieves. The thudding duet of their bodies follows. Plop, plop.
What's happening?
Shouts the man in charge.
Rat-a-tat-tat!
Four rounds trail off from the muzzle of his gun. The hostages scream at the sound of the automatic rifle. He can feel wind rushing past him, but all he can see is the bleached white afterglow left over from the flash.
Slap!
Comes a hand across his face, and he stumbles back.
Rat-a-tat-tat!
He fires again. More screams, more wind, and another smack!
Stop that!
He shouts in a frustrated, deep, but whiny voice.
I think I got him!
Calls out one of his men to his left. He hears a fluttering metallic plastic sound whiz by him as the bleached out whiteness begins to fade. There is a cluttering clank, and he sees the flailing silhouette of his henchman pushing through the blur of his hazy eyes as the man appears to be falling, legs up, and landing head first, toppling over himself with a bone-breaking clatter and a tap-to-tap-tap of the stapler that had hit him square in the dome. The robber just stands there for a moment, unable to believe his eyes. Reaching up to slide off the hood with his right hand, he reveals two very bruised and purple cheekbones. His hands tremble as he drops his ski mask and takes a nervous grip of his rifle, aiming it with shaking hands at the young man standing before him in a stern posture, dressed in black, with slicked back hair. He looks serious, and the sight of three downed men makes the thief certainly believe it to be so.
But how? He's just a kid,
he wonders. Darting forward, Seldon twists to the right, dropping down on his right hand, and bounces off into a one-handed cartwheel, and then twists his hips upright, releasing a backspinning kick. He lands in the soft grass in the woods, coming out of that move in a crouching stance, as the daydream fades. His run, for now, is over. Breathing heavily, he rocks for a moment, then falls to his backside in exhaustion. He rests his hands like props on the moist ground behind him, while still carrying the catchy tune stuck in his head. His eyes trail right to something tugging at his arm, and then...